You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Coming up, we'll listen back to an interview about the busing movement and how it affects school diversity today. Right now, from 1932 to 1965, Aileen Hazard was a fixture on WHA's airwaves, which eventually became Wisconsin Public Radio. In many ways, her show, The Homemakers Program, was the prime example of the Wisconsin idea, extending the reach of the university to the borders of the state. Earlier this month, representatives of WPR and members of Aileen's family were on hand for her induction ceremony to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Erica Janik has written articles about Aileen in the past and more recently authored the nomination of Aileen for the Hall of Fame honors. Erica, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
So how did Aileen Hazard come to be on the air in Wisconsin?
So Aileen actually came to Wisconsin out of a kind of an interesting path. She had actually, she was born in Iowa. She'd been a teacher for a couple of years. And then she came to Wisconsin and was working in the home economics department. And the Homemakers Program, which had started in 1929, decided in 1932 that they should probably have a host for it. They had kind of had a rotating number of people kind of leading the show. And so she auditioned and she got the job. And she was on the air until the 1960s.
And there were some requirements to be the host. What were those?
Yeah, so you had to have been born on a farm and you had to have a home economics degree. So Aileen had one of those. She was born on a farm in Iowa. So she understood kind of the plight of rural women and kind of what life was like, but she did not have a home economics degree. So she was actually working full-time on the show, raising two kids and getting her home economics degree at the same time.
And that took her several years.
It did. It took her almost a decade to earn her degree because, as you can imagine, that's a lot to handle. But so, you know, she was both taking classes as well as kind of learning along with her listeners on the air.
And there really was a very strong educational component to the Homemakers Program. What were the goals of the show?
So the goal of the show was really to try to introduce technology and keep people abreast of the newest science in homemaking. And so she really drew on the university. She was a university employee herself. And so she really drew on the expertise within the College of Agriculture and within UW Extension to really teach people about, you know, what new gadgets they could have in their kitchen, or new information we had about frozen food, or new information about how long, you know, even things like how long you could keep something out of the refrigerator and still have it be safe. You know, these are the types of very practical information that she was imparting to her listeners, and she would bring in experts on these topics. She did not present herself as the expert. She really presented herself as a guide, and that she was kind of learning along with her listeners.
Aileen's listeners told her that feeding their families healthy and tasty food on a budget was their greatest challenge. So cooking and food preservation were a big part of the program. Let's listen to this audio from a 1943 edition of the Homemakers Program.
A couple of weeks or so ago, Carson Gully, chef at the University Dormitories and Commons, gave us some interesting suggestions on the use of herbs and vinegars in foods. Today we've asked him to speak especially of salad dressings. Well, we know he has some specialties which he himself has worked out. Mr. Gully, there is variety in salad dressings, isn't there?
Definitely. Salad dressings alone is the secret of success in creating a wide range of variety of salad combinations.
So they're talking about something very hands-on, very concrete, salad dressings. Is that kind of typical for the kinds of programs that Aileen did?
Absolutely. She really tried to listen to what her audience wanted. They would write her letters requesting certain topics or asking questions, and she would do her best to find the answers. And she would bring people on, like Carson Gully, who could provide that very, you know, practical, everyday information. And, you know, she wanted to make things taste good, but she also wanted to make people's lives easier. And so she really saw herself as doing a service to people.
And she really connected with those listeners, and they really reached out to her. She got an enormous amount of correspondence from her listeners. What kind of volume are we talking about?
Thousands and thousands of letters. You know, she actually took care to respond to almost everyone who wrote to her, she or her staff. I think in one of the years, I think it was like 1962, she received more than 10,000 letters. She received more letters than anyone else on our airwaves. And people really saw her as a trusted friend. You know, you find that comment over and over again in people's letters is that they're really addressing her as her this good friend that they hear every day coming into their homes. And I think that's one of the real powers of radio is that intimacy of voice and feeling like, you know, this friend is just talking right to you. And she really saw herself that way. And she really made an effort to, you know, be that friend and that guide to the people that were listening to her.
And you actually have some letters. Can you read a little bit from a couple of those?
I can. So this one came from a woman in Janesville, and she wrote, "Thank you so much, Mrs. Hazard. You can say everything so nice and warm-heartedly. No wonder people respond to you right away. I think you must be one of the most beloved personalities on the radio because everyone I have talked to about the Homemakers programs tell me they just love to hear Mrs. Hazard talk." So emphasizing there, you know, that people just love to listen to her. Another person wrote, actually three women, they wrote this letter together. They wrote, "Your varied programs are of great interest and help for homemakers, mothers, and those of us needing a broader horizon." And I think that one actually gets at something that she was really trying to do with her program is that she recognized that a lot of these women were living kind of isolated lives. You know, Wisconsin was a largely rural state, and so women were home during the day, cleaning the house, taking care of their kids, doing things, you know, maybe in their garden. But they were using the radio as a companion, and they didn't have neighbors next door that they could go talk to. And so Mrs. Hazard really became that neighbor, that friend that they could, you know, go kind of hang out with for a couple of hours. And that's really what a lot of these early radio programs were doing. They really recognized that women were their prime audience. Women were home listening to the radio, so they thought we should have programming for them. And she took, Aileen Hazard really took that very seriously. She wanted to be entertaining, but she also wanted to be informative. And, you know, I think one of the things that they were also trying to do is by making women's lives a little bit more efficient, a little bit easier, that women might actually have a little bit of time in the day for themselves. You know, that maybe if you adopt this new technology into your home, maybe you could sit down and put your feet up for a little bit before, you know, your husband comes in from the fields or your kids come home from school. And so that was part of the goal, too, is really to try to figure out how to make women's lives easier so that they could have a moment for themselves.
A pretty radical idea for farm wives.
Absolutely. You know, it was really not something that a lot of people were thinking about.
We're talking with historian Erica Janik right now about Aileen Hazard, who was recently inducted into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. You know, people would comment on Aileen's warmth. Let's listen to a clip from the 1963 Homemakers Program Christmas special.
Christmas is a nostalgic time, and what can be more memorable than an old-fashioned Christmas? And here is such an account as told by Mrs. Harold McCarty, who's one of the best of storytellers and whom we appreciate having with us today.
So she really does have a very warm and very friendly presence to her.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting since she didn't really have, you know, a radio background. She had majored in speech in college, and she'd certainly been a teacher. So, you know, she had that kind of education background. But, you know, she really was well suited to radio. You know, she really took the reins right away. And she did a lot of innovative things with her program. She was very warm and very, very inviting to her audience. But she was also trying new things all of the time. One of the things I really like that she started doing is she called them on the spots. She started doing them in 1935, but she would basically bring her radio program out into the community. Because, you know, she was trying to really, you know, this show is about you and I'm going to come where you are. And so one of her first programs that she did like that, she went and visited a garden in Madison, and she just walked around talking about the garden with its owner. And, you know, she did that over and over again. She went to visit factories. She went to learn how things were made. She went to cheese factories, and they talked about the process of making cheese, and you could actually hear them making cheese on the air. And during World War II, as a lot of women were going into the workforce, she went to go visit women who were working different jobs around the city to talk to them about how they managed, you know, their home life and this new job that they had taken on because a lot of the men were off at war.
So the things that she was doing decades and decades ago are things that we do today, but are still a big undertaking, doing a remote broadcast, getting out in the field. Who were the people behind the scenes at WHA that were making that possible?
there was obviously any number of people that were very involved in helping her create her program. A lot of the staff that she worked with, though, actually came out of the home economics department. She had a lot of students that were kind of doing research and kind of helping to lay the groundwork. And then, of course, WHA provided a lot of the equipment and the engineering support in order for her to actually go out in the field to do this. So it really was a group effort, as is everything that we do now. There's no way that one person can do this all alone. So you might have heard just that one voice, Aileen Hazard, out there, but she certainly had a team of people behind her supporting her.
Well, and as you just referenced, Erica, Aileen Hazard was on the air on WHA for over 30 years. Where do you see her influences in the programming that we do here today?
I think if you look at what a lot of what she was doing in the past, it's very, very similar to what we do today. You might use different words to describe it. You know, we're probably not going to have a program about even one called the Homemakers Program. But a lot of the practical information about gardening, about preserving food, you know, she did a whole thing about freezing your produce for wintertime. That's exactly the type of thing that you would hear, you know, on a Food Friday on Central Time on the Larry Mueller Show. Larry is really kind of a direct descendant of Aileen. You know, she went off the air in 1965, and then there was kind of a fill-in year that was called Accent on Living. And then Larry really took to the airwaves and was doing a lot of the same things, bringing that expertise from the university, very practical, very responsive to listeners. So I think this goes back decades.
And on that Christmas program that we heard just a small clip of, there was actually another woman reading a lengthy excerpt from, I believe it was a poem or a story, that right away reminded me of Chapter a Day as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of the things that she was doing, she started a book club. She featured a lot of Wisconsin writers on her book club. And they would just have these kind of conversations about what they were reading and why it mattered. She also did kind of homemaking programs as part of the College of the Air. So, you know, it was very practical, hands-on lessons. And so a lot of the things that she's doing are things that we're still doing today. She brought a lot of women's voices to our airwaves. In addition to her own, women had a very early role, very active and very public role on WHA from its very beginning.
Erica, thanks so much for telling us about Aileen Hazard.
Thank you.
Erica Janik is a historian and the executive producer of Wisconsin Life. She joined us to talk about Wisconsin Public Radio legend Aileen Hazard, who was recently inducted into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Coming up after the news, we listen back to an interview we did about busing, desegregation, and the civil rights movement. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.